Welcome to Series 2 of my podcast, Stories at Will. Thank you for finding me. My name's William Lewis. It's good to be back with you again. The first story today is called Slug Days. I was racking my brains to think of a benefit of Brexit and came up with this one. It took me a while to get used to the new post-Brexit calendar. I never had a problem with the original names of the months, some of them from the old Roman gods and emperors, others from the Roman numbers, 7, 8, 9, 10. It all seemed pretty straightforward. I confess the Romans didn't mean that much to me personally. It was all a long time ago, wasn't it? So, as a strong European, I supported the proposal to name each month after a different European city, to be rotated every 5 years, so that they all got a go. And it always made me think of my holidays, Avignon, Berlin, Cadiz, Dublin, Episcopi, Faro, etc. And being in alphabetical order, you always knew where you were. As long as you knew your alphabet, years could never slip away from you. All that changed after Brexit, of course. I was never that keen on taking back control, although I could see that it mattered to some. Clearly, though, in our new post-Brexit age, our years could no longer be enthralled to a sack of European cities. We needed to do something different. So very quickly the call came to take back our months. But what to call them? As ever, certain ends of the political spectrum argued strongly for the names of the great military leaders, Wellington, Churchill, Montgomery, etc. But that quickly got bogged down into a gender debate, which burned through social media in, unsurprisingly, a most unpleasant manner, particularly from the male side of the argument. Fortunately, wiser heads prevailed, and majority opinion quickly coalesced around the suggestion that the months should be named after British flora and fauna. In an effort to avoid narrow sectarian interests, it was arranged that the whole thing should be decided through a Great British Lottery, which would determine the outcome without any influence from special interest groups. Civil servants from the Brexit Benefits Secretariat had plenty of free time, so got to work and quickly produced nomination forms, which could be completed online or available from post offices. The winning entries were to be drawn by the King at a special ceremony held on the balcony of Buckingham Palace to be televised on New Year's Eve with a simultaneous webcast. The results were, perhaps, surprising, an unexpected demonstration of the power and occasional inevitability of random chance. And that is why, my children, our months came to be called Bedbug, Bluebottle, Hemlock, Hogweed, Hornet, Horsefly, Nettle, Rat, Slug, Stinkhorn, Tick, and Weasel. Our second story today finds some humanity in response to bleak recent events. It's called Two Journeys. Tuesday morning, a little before 11 a.m. Pediatric wing of an English hospital on the ground floor. A bright morning. The room is decorated with colourful prints of toys and small animals. It has a pleasing perspective over the garden, with a lawn, some trees, flower beds. The surgical wards and operating theatres are on the floors above. Dr. Doherty O'Malley, paediatric psychiatric consultant, is recently returned from a secondment to a UN post in a Middle Eastern country. He reads through the case notes in preparation for the arrival of his next patient, Anya Johnson, aged 12. It is their second meeting since her transfer from the surgical ward. Anya sustained life-threatening injuries when the family's apartment was destroyed by a missile aimed to eliminate terrorists in the area. The explosion and the subsequent collapse of the building killed her three siblings and both her parents. Anya was fortunate to be pulled from the rubble and, thanks to the nationality of her English father, a teacher, Anya was, after a short delay, medevaced to the UK and to this hospital. So far, she has not spoken. There is a tap on the door. "Come in," calls Dr. O'Malley. "Thank you, nurse." He stands. He smiles, a warm, gentle smile. He is good at his job. "Hello, Anya. Welcome. It's good to see you again." Anya stands in the doorway. Her arms rest by her side. She looks down. "Please, come in. We met last week. My name is Dr. Doc." She looks up for a moment, wondering if that is a joke. "Here," he motions. "Take this chair. It's nice and comfortable." Slowly, she walks forward and sits. The nurse closes the door and sits beside it. Dr. O'Malley takes the other chair. Anya quickly scans the room. She does not recognize any of the colorful prints. She is not familiar with those images. She looks down again. "I've got something to show you," says Dr. Doc. He produces a book, a scrapbook. It contains photographs from his UN secondment. He knows the area where Anya lived and her block of flats, as they looked before the conflict. He opens the book and passes it to Anya. "I used to work there, in the hospital," he says. "Do you recognize any of these places?" Anya takes the book and smells the bread from Ibrahim's bread shop. She sees Malik's fruit and vegetable stall with its piles of dates, avocados, peaches, apricots and watermelon, peppers, tomatoes and cucumbers. She hears her mother's voice telling her what to get and how much to pay for it. In the street, she sees her friends, Fatima, Amina and Nadia. Nadia has already drawn the squares for a game of Hala and found a good stone for them to play it with. She sits very still, then closes the book. "Gone now," she says. "Yes, I'm afraid so," says Dr. Mully. "They are all gone. But you are still here, and we will do our very best to help you and to care for you and to help you build a new life." There is a silence. Dr. O'Malley waits to see if she will speak again. But no more words yet. "Come," he says. "Let us look at the garden outside. It is pretty today." He walks to the window. He also remembers Malik's stall, the fragrance of persimmons, the laughter of children, and the barking of a street dog. All gone now. Anya's walk is still painful and unsteady. The nurse begins to rise as if to help her. But Dr. O'Malley catches her eye. Anya can do this. She stands at the window, her hands on the sill, keeping her steady. He shows her the garden, the sun bright on the apple trees, petunias and roses, a cat asleep in the rockery. Anya looks. She hears the scream of a missile. She sees from the inside a falling building. She tastes the thick cloy of brick dust in her throat and nose. 6 months of surgery have partially rebuilt her body. Her mind's journey has barely begun. Thanks for listening to those two stories. Do let me know what you thought of them. I'll be putting new stories on Stories at Will every week or so. The next two are much lighter. That's all for this time. Find me again soon at Stories at Will. This is William Lewis, looking forward to reading for you. next time.